I'm going to move in as far as I can get. I'm going to pray as much as I can. I'm going to fast as much as I can. The capacity for that experience, my friend, is not in the flesh. It is not in the knowledge. It is the inner man that must rule in our lives. It is that spiritual man. You are tripartite. Body, soul, and spirit. It's got to get past this. It's got to get past your will. It's got to get inside that man on the inner man. When he's on fire for Jesus. When he's united with the Holy Ghost. And there the Holy Ghost there motivates the spiritual man. Notice this today. My friend, what is your capacity to love? Let me give you a quick example. Take a family that has children. And I know we have several families here that have children. I have a child. But you notice there that usually when children are young, they're usually pretty compassionate and loving and caring. I got to the place when I got a few... Mom, don't kiss me in front of my friends. Anybody been there? Mama, come on. Stop that. Not in front of the guys. You know? And then Mom used to do that thing. She'd lick her finger or something on your face and feel like she's rubbing your raw there. You know what I'm saying? Rubbing. Mama, come on. But I realized this, that some children are just more loving than others. Doesn't make them bad. But I figured out my little sister's the baby of the family. And she said, guess what? She's played that role fairly well. Amen. She's been the baby. Had three older brothers. And guess what? I said, I don't think she's ever got a whipping. I told me and my older brother are 2 years apart. I mean, we get whipping in pairs. It seemed like he was doing something, I was doing something. We get whippings at the same time. I said, I don't ever think Carol's got a whipping. But this is a fact I want you to understand today. Take a family with children. You watch, some children are closer to the parents than others. That is a fact. It does not make the parents' love for the child any less. But there's only one or two of the children that take full advantage of that love. And so they are closer to the parent because they are desiring with their parents. And they make more opportunity with the parents. The big joke is this. My grandmother supposedly has spoiled me since I got saved. And my brother's lost, my other brother's lost, and they always talk about Grandma. Look, I bet your Grandma's giving Derek something else again. And it's true, and I had to get on her. Because one time, we're at Christmas. She gives everybody envelopes. Mine has $50 and theirs has $10. I said, "This, I'm going to end up like Joseph," I told her. She said, "No, but I know you ain't going to buy alcohol with it." I said, "Well, you know, you got a point, Grandma." I said, "Make it a little more discreet or something." I said, "Just..." And they picked on me ever since. But you know what it is? It's not that my grandma doesn't love my other brothers. It's not that my grandma doesn't love my sister. But I'm there with my grandma. I sat with my grandma for 6 months and held my granddaddy's hand as he was dying from pancreatic cancer. I was there when grandma needed emotional support. It's not that she doesn't love all of them, but she realized there that I've been there and I love them. Hear me, my friend. God loves us all today, but only those that make themselves readily available to God. Look, you're saying that ain't right. God's doing that for them, but you don't know what they're doing for God. You ain't got a clue, my friend. How intimate are you? Damn it, today, are you with the Lord today? Are you intimate or not? Now we look at this, and we come to this great beloved disciple. Now follow me just for a few seconds. The disciple whom Jesus loved, the Bible tells us that John was that disciple. We know that this does not mean that Jesus did not love the other disciples. He loved Peter. He loved Andrew. He loved all of the disciples there, my friend. But hear me today. Now notice this. So what is John? We look at John here. Jesus loved perfectly and unconditionally. He loved them all. So what does it mean when John was a beloved and he wrote about himself here? What he is saying is this. John realized something. He did more. It seems like when we read the Bible, we see a lot of things that God's doing. You see John there. You look at the foot of the cross with Jesus on the cross. You see John there. You go to the sepulcher. You see John walking in the tomb. There was a love for Jesus that John had that was pressing, that was real, that was fervent. And even though Jesus loved all the other disciples, he says, "Look, John, you're the beloved disciple." Let's look at the Last Supper. Guess what, John? You got Jesus sitting here. You got John on one side of him. And what does the Bible say about John? He's got his head on the chest of Jesus. I like what one writer said. He said, John's got his head on the chest of Jesus because he's trying to get to his heart, and that's as close as he can get. Amen. He's trying to get into his heart. I'm telling you, my friend, let's look at John. Guess what? The disciples, they had homes and some had families. Some had businesses they operated. And guess what, my friend? As you study in context, you would understand there was probably seasons and days at times that the disciples would go back to their families for a little point of time. But oh, there was something about John. John was so close to him that all the other ones said, look, my friend, they realized that John was there. John had reached a place in the eyes of Jesus that he was the beloved disciple, and he's there on the chest of Jesus. And guess what I notice here? He's so close. He's the only one at the Last Supper who's brave enough to ask Jesus, who's going to betray you? Everybody else is saying, is it me? Is it me? And you have Peter over there saying, man, I want to know who it is. I ain't going to Jesus. Hey, John. Look, ask Jesus who it is. And John has enough confidence to put his head on the chest of the Savior. And he says, Master, I know it's not me. I love you. I can't, Lord, who could it be? Who is it? And guess what? Jesus did not make the announcement to the whole table. He leaned back to John, the one that I dipped the sop with. He's the one that's going to betray me. He dipped the bread in that gravy type stuff. He gave it over to Judas. And John was the only one that knew. He's the only one that writes about it. I'm telling you, my friend, here is a sign of intimacy. Hear me today, my friend. Are you afraid of God? Are you afraid of expressing your heart? Can you ask God anything? Do you know some people are afraid of God because they got things they got to hide? Adam, where are you? I just picture in my mind any other day when God came down the cool of the day, I just imagine Adam running up to him. God, I'm alive, thank you. But he comes down this day, something's wrong in the garden. He don't hear the footsteps of Adam. He hears the quietness. He hears the cool breeze blowing. But Adam, where are you? God knew where Adam was. But my friend, hear me today. You hide from God. You're not intimate with God because there's something you're hiding from God. Hear me. Love runs to Him. Love can ask Him anything. Love can tell Him anything. What are you not telling God? How intimate are you with Him? I can honestly say today, there's times I got down to pray, and even though something was in my heart, I knew I had to tell God because He already knew. We've got to separate this in the Bible, and follow me. I'm not trying to bore you. I'm trying to help you. You've got to separate the judicial punishment of God and the parental punishment of God in the Bible. Every time we think everything is judicial, we think everything is hell. We think everything when God touches or corrects this person, that God instantly is so mad with them that He wants to destroy him. That's judicial and that's for the sinner. But when you get born again, thank God that you're no longer a sinner, but you're a child. And just like a father corrects a child, our God will correct us. How many times as a parent, guess what? I've had to pop Chloe's hand a few times. And I'm sure I ain't done. But I don't pop her hand just because of saying, look, you know, if you do that again, I'm going to kill you. Does that sound like a parent to you? I love that girl with all my heart. But she's my child. So she's doing something I know is wrong. I pop her hand. I said, you're going to get hurt. Quit it. So when God is telling us no, what God is really telling us is don't hurt yourself. Don't put yourself in that predicament, my friend. Yes, there's judicial punishment for the sinner. But when you come into a relationship with God, I find out love, grace, and mercy, and parental chastisement keeps me in right standings with Jesus. But guess what? If God's not chasing you, you're not intimate with Him. You say, well, I heard somebody say, well, God ain't never dealt with me on that. You're probably not close enough to be dealt with. Amen. I've had God deal with me on things that I knew it wasn't a sin. Son, you're going to get hurt. Get your hands off of it. Financial things. I'm chasing the American dollar. If I do this, Lord, if I get this job and work this many hours, get your hands off of it, son. Go do full-time ministry. I'm telling you, what is that? Does that mean God? No, that's being intimate with Him. The reason some never get dealt with is because they're not intimate. The reason some of them never feel the love of God is because they're not intimate. And the reason some never show love to God, they're not intimate enough. Affection will come from you if you're walking with God like you should. You will be affectionate in some way and somehow towards our God. Now notice this. Where was God? As we already said, He's right beside Jesus. Notice this. John had a depth of experience that any of them could have had, and maybe later on they did, but he was the beloved disciple. So notice this. Jesus wants to know us better. Does that mean God don't already know everything about us? How many knows God knows everything about me? But the question is this. What is your capacity to receive from God? Your capacity to receive from God shouldn't be the same to you. You got saved. When people get saved, and 2 years up the road, 6 months up the road, their capacity has not broadened to where God's using them more and pouring into them, and they're conforming more to Christ. I wonder if they're saved. Because our capacity for God, we will grow in some way. Notice this. There is no limit on the love of God that He wants to share with you and to share to the time when we walk with Him and talk with Him. That's what the Bible says this. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, in Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. Notice this. He said that Thou may know God and Jesus Christ. The word know there in the Bible is not just knowing and knowledge. When you look that word up in the Bible, let me read to you in a definition of the word know in the Bible. It expresses more than just a speculative experience with God. It includes all the impressions of the mind, life, including love, reverence, supreme affection, all who we are, all which we know God and Father, friend, parent, Savior, Redeemer, and lover. Jesus is more than just head knowledge. He is my lover. He is my friend. He is the bridegroom and I am the bride. There's got to be affection there. You show me a relationship where the bride never talks to the bridegroom, I show you a relationship on the rocks. Amen. You show me a relationship where there's in a marriage that there's never an I love you. When there's never no affection, I show you a relationship that will not make it. It is not enough just to believe in God. Because many do this. And so the Bible says even the devils believe and tremble. We have to have more than religion. You look the way Jesus talked to the Pharisees. They were devoutly religious. It shows us that you can be religious and still not know God. Religion can be death without Jesus. We have to understand this. Matthew 7:21, when Jesus says, "Depart from me, I never knew you." That word there, "knew," does not mean just knowledge. It means that we never loved each other. We never regarded each other as friends. I never knew you because you never made yourself available to me. And you never let me show you my love. And you never showed me any affection. There was no relationship there. I felt that in my heart. If you're here today and you don't have a living, passionate relationship with Jesus, He does not know you. And the reason that you can go days or a week without reading or praying is because you do not love Him. It is a love issue. It is a love problem. It is a love situation. If you love Him, you're going to have affections for Him. The reason that you can hang around this group and that group and never care about hanging around God's group is because you don't know Him. You've got to know Him. In the Old Testament, when Abraham knew Sarah, it is the same word as knowing in the New Testament. It is affectionate. It is loving. It is real. Aren't you glad you can feel the love of Jesus? But I'm telling you, church, you've got to love Him with that affection. What's the greatest commandment? Say it. I don't think that's just a dry love. I don't think that's just I'm quoting the Scripture type love. I think that's a love where it's every part of me saying, "I love you," to Jesus. I won't be much longer. I'm just trying to express my heart. There's a preacher that I know of. He was in Poland preaching in a certain area. He was there in Poland. He was preaching. And he said he felt such a religious stronghold. Unless you've ever traveled on mission fields or evangelized, it's hard to describe. You go in areas where the area is bound by dead formal religion. I'm telling you, it's just as deadly as somebody drinking beer and shooting heroin. Because they're deceived to think they're in right standings with God. But there has been no pulse of love. There's been no energy there. There's no desire there. And they get mad at their kids because they don't have a desire. So the kids, it's a mess. It's dead. It's dry as formal. He was there in Poland. He was preaching. And he said he was preaching the simple message. You need to love God. You need to be affectionate towards God. And he said at the end of that message, he said a pastor came up to him and said, I don't believe a word you just said, mister. He said, affection for God. He said, he's holy. He said, you can't have a... He said, I can't have affection for God. He said, he has affection for me. This preacher grabbed the hand of this Poland pastor. He grabbed his hand and said this to him. He said, Pastor, have you ever heard God sing songs of deliverance over your life? He said, the pastor said, he said, hold up, don't talk. He said, have you ever heard Him sing songs of deliverance over your life? He said, have you ever heard God say, I love you? That pastor said, God said, he said, hold up, stop right there. He said, have you ever had God touch you? He said, hold up one second. He said, have you ever had God show affection for you that you just bubbled over with the joy and the love of being the bride of Christ? And that pastor got disgruntled. He said, well, no. And Pastor Lee said, look back at him. He said, you poor, poor, poor preacher. Let go of his hand, turned around, and walked away. He came back to service that night, and that preacher was hunting him down. He grabbed hold, he got with Lee's ship, he pointed his finger in his chest, he said, Lee? He said, is it possible? Lee's ship looked back at him, he said, you're telling me that a God that sent His only Son to die for you, doesn't want to be intimate with you? He said, something's wrong. Something's wrong. And that pastor looked at him and said, I believe. And he went back. That pastor has never been the same. I would say to you tonight or this morning, if you'll listen to me, have you ever heard God sing the songs of deliverance over your life? Have you ever felt the touch of God? Have you ever heard God say He loved you when you read the Word? Have you ever felt the compassion of the Holy Ghost and the love of Jesus? Have you ever heard heaven whisper back to you, you're my son, you're my daughter? Have you ever shed tears in a service because you knew the bridegroom had just entered the room? Have you ever done any of that? If you have not, you poor, poor, poor Christian. Poor you. I feel the Holy Ghost in my heart every day. And that's not bragging. I'm telling you, He loves me. And I've got to love Him. If you hadn't felt the presence of God recently, you need to get it right with the Lord today. Because He's wanting to be affectionate towards you. And if you hadn't shown no affection towards God, I don't know what's wrong. You've got to figure it out. This is the tragedy of the ages, is that God, of the God of love, who sacrificially pursues man in order to love man, even as He loves Jesus, is spurned by man in His pursuit. That's the tragedy of the ages, is that God first loved us, and that you don't love Him as you should. It's a tragedy. The tragedy of the church is when dry men who lack intimacy and dry women who lack intimacy does not lead a movement into the heart of God like the disciples did, like John did, like men of old did. It is our calling as Abundant Life Tabernacle that every new person, if they're not saved, whoever you are spiritually mature or immature, that we lead a movement straight into the heart of God, that His heart flows, that His heart beats in this room, and that His love is evident. That's the tragedy of the church. It's a shame. Do you love Jesus today? I know I'm preaching to the best of the best right here. I'm preaching this because God first preached it to me. And He asked me these questions. Do you really show your affection for me as you should? And He gave me these words. Tell them I want 2016 to be the start of the most intimate part of their life with me. How far are you going to go in your love for Jesus today? As my wife gets ready to come to the piano, these are just simple thoughts. I would say this today, and I want to precaution you. I'm not here, if you're saved today, I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here by the help of the Holy Ghost to convict you. I'm not here to condemn you. I know the devil does a good job at that. Look, he don't need my help to accuse you and to condemn you. I know he works overtime before the throne, night and day. I know he accuses all of the time. I'm not here to condemn you. But I'm here today with the help of the Holy Ghost that His divine conviction would settle in this building. What is your love for Christ? Stand to your feet all over this building. God does not have many friends that really love Him. My advice today in closing is this. If you don't know God like that, and your life with Christ is very stoic, it's very dry, you don't feel His touch, you don't know His authentic loving expression, love towards you, all I can say to you is this. Poor, poor, poor Christian. Because you're missing out on the greatest thing in this whole entire world. What's the greatest thing you can do today? Let me express this to you in closing. It's not mission work. It's not the greatest thing you can do. It's not getting on the streets and preaching. That's needed, but it's not the greatest thing you can do. It's not finding a pulpit. It's not the greatest thing you can do. It's not a special Bible study. It's not the greatest thing you can do. Oh, that's needful and beneficial in every area. The greatest thing you can do in 2016 is love Jesus like you should. And if you love Jesus like you should, everything else will fall into place. What's your affection for Him? I was going to read to you out of the book of Ezekiel 16. I got more thoughts, scattered thoughts all over the notes, scattered. Ezekiel 16 tells us the story of God's heart towards Israel. He said, I found you, Israel, as a baby. Laying there, I'm just going to talk, I'm not reading the verses, just give you the overview of it. Laying there in your own blood, Israel. Dirty, unwashed, an infant. No life. You're going to die. He said, Israel, I came to you. I picked you up, Israel. I washed you. I loved you. I kissed you. I fed you. I took you in. I raised you. When you got of age, I gave you the best of the best. Gave you the greatest food. The finest garments. You've never been loved like this. Nobody's ever received love like this. Nobody, Israel. You received all of this love from me. I raised you. I got you out of the dirt. I took you on financially. I provided. I fed you. I loved you. You got of age. I gave you everything you wanted. Everything you needed. Then it says Israel did this. Israel played the harlot and went after other nations and false gods. Can you imagine what that did to the heart of God? I hear the Holy Ghost saying in my heart, Derek Jones, you know what I've done for you? Came to you in your addictions. Came to you in your legal troubles. Came to you in your deadness. I picked you up. I kissed you on the forehead. I cleaned you. I took you in. I gave you the best garment. I gave you the best food. I gave you everything that you would ever need. You're standing before me. You got two options. You can love me back, or you can leave me. I don't know about you, my friend. I don't want to be a leaver. I want to be a lover of Jesus. How ungrateful we would be when He took you where you... Where'd you come from? Don't polish it up. Where'd you come from? What old dry, dead, restless life were you living before Jesus? I stand before Him today. And I say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, my affection, I embrace the Father. I feel the prodigal son felt the kiss of the Father. He heard the words of the Father. Go kill the fatted calf. Go get the robe. Go get the ring. He's my son. I love Him. Have you felt the kiss of the Father recently? Are you like the elder brother? You're sitting there in the Father's house. But because you don't express no love to Him, He don't feel like He can express love to you. And you're bitter and you're angry and you're judgmental. No, it should not be. How many wants to love Jesus more in 2016? I want this to be the most intimate year of your life. I felt that so strong in prayer. God wants you to have the deepest, most intimate relationship with Him. You hadn't even scratched the surface. I'd be foolish to think that I'm doing something. And I'll say this, and as I close before we pray, don't set your limits on worship by me. Don't look at me and say, I want to worship God like Brother Derek. Or I want to worship God like Sister and so-and-so. I'm not there yet. You've got to read the Word, listen to preaching and fast, and do whatever God wants you to do. And in that, you'll develop your own original affection for Him. Don't set the bar at your neighbor. Don't set the bar at anybody in this room. Set the bar at Jesus. You don't have to come to me and say, can I love Jesus today? Love Him. You ain't got to come to me. Have I met the qualifications to worship Him? You ain't got to do none of that. I'm telling you to have affection, to kiss Him, to love Him. Can you find a place to pray this morning and tell God, make this an intimate year. Find you a place to pray.